All right, hello everybody. It's a good day in the Lord. So, if we could, let's just say a word of prayer before we get started. So, Father, we just glorify you and thank you for your goodness to us. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would pour out comfort to us. And Lord, we need your divine wisdom, your divine knowledge, Lord. We step aside and we allow your spirit, Lord, to break free and break loose in this place in a powerful way, in a way in which we've never known before. Lord, help us to delight in you in every area of our lives. And we just want to acknowledge that you rule and you reign. You rule, you reign. It's a ruling and reigning party up in here, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you can't help but say hallelujah when it comes to the word of God, huh? Because it's just for us. Can you imagine? All of this is just for us. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah. So we passed out some notes. As you can see, our subject today is Gospel 101, the restoration of our identities. And the Lord, he gave this to me about 2 weeks ago. Actually, I was, you know, waking up in the morning. And you know how you lay there and you just kind of start thinking on your day. And the Lord just started downloading this to me and gave me some aha moments for myself. And as I sat there, I said, wait a minute, I think this is our next teaching. And I quickly ran into the bathroom and I got my phone and I whispered into my phone all of the points that are on this sheet for the most point, and said, okay, Lord, let's see what you have for us here. So let's take a look. It's kind of deep. This is the kind of subject where you can only touch just the surface of it. And so I'm going to admonish you all to, from here, in your own time, run like the wind and find out what else God has for you, because this is good stuff here that we all need to live by, because it involves our very being, our very identity in Christ. So let's just look at it together. I'm going to first read a little note that I put here for myself to somewhat give you all before we get into the notes. So I said, today we're going to take a look at what was a very intense and suspenseful true epic story that unfolded involving generations of people. From the beginning, Satan plotted to steal, kill, and destroy so that he could hijack the plan of God. Satan's ultimate plan was to steal God's identity as creator and steal our identities. So today, let's discuss some of the things that he wanted to steal when man sinned, and see how God has restored everything to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I start out with one of the foundations we should know is that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Augustine is often cited as the source for this famous quote defining the meaning of the Bible, but its origin is actually from the Bible itself. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to the disciples and told them in Luke 24:44, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Jesus himself stated that all of the scriptures and prophetic words all were about him. History itself is his story, and we are partnering in the fulfillment of his predestined plans. Within his plans, he has given us hope, prosperity, and a certain, sure future. So now let's look at the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Noah and the flood in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of the provision given to us by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. In the days of Noah, God builds an ark and saves a remnant. And in the New Testament, Jesus is our ark of protection. So in the blank, please put ark of protection and salvation. Ark of protection. Continuing. So in the Old Testament, all who do not enter the ark are destroyed because of their sins, while in the New Testament, all who do not enter the ark of God's protection and provision through Jesus Christ will die in their sins. The ones who are saved after the flood are his new creation, while the ones who are saved after Jesus' death and resurrection are his new creation. The ark was the vessel used to take Noah and his family to safety. Noah represents the soul of man. Through grace, Noah was instructed on how to be saved. The people that drowned in the flood represent the death of the old man of sin. Through grace, we're instructed on how to be saved. Jesus Christ is our protection and provision. He is our salvation and the restorer of the new man. Jesus Christ's death and resurrection has restored back to us our intended identity. That's what your blank is, intended identity, before the foundation of the world was laid. So isn't that something, how we all have an intended identity, and that identity is that we have always been made to be in the image and likeness of our God. Jesus, our ark. He's our ark of safety. So I wrote myself a note here. It just came to me. I said to myself, if I had another way of naming this, this saga that we witnessed in history, it would be the Great Reset in the day of Noah. Mm-hmm. And then the Great Reset in the fulfillment of prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. So the first thing, foundation one, the restoration of all things. Jesus's death gave us the restoration of all things. And so we see it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. Now, I want to refer to right there in the text where it says, pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. It means that God wants us to be aware of very specific promises that he's given to us. And then if you also look in the text, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust, that's actually a place in the New Testament where it's referring back or referencing to what happened in Noah's day, how we, through Jesus Christ's blood, have been able to escape the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. So I have another reference for you to write down, Colossians 3 and 10, so you can go back in your own time, and it says, and we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creation. Also, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And you know, this very supernatural work that takes place where we are made new with no corruption in our spirit is a very mysterious thing. A lot of people that I witness to or talk to who are new Christians, and sometimes even people who've been saved for quite some time, still get tripped up on the fact that we sometimes sin. But we're living in the natural man, and the natural man, unfortunately, has the sin nature. But it is we, our true identity, that we don't have sin in our real identity. And so I was thinking of that transformation that is talked about, where we're being transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ from day to day. I think of it like this. My dad told me this story many years ago, and I just thought it was hilarious. I have to do, if you will allow me, the accent that came along with it. It's a really country accent, but you know, the story doesn't have the same effect if I don't do it. So my dad told me there was a man sitting down, and he had a block of wood. And someone walked over to that man, and they said, "How do you make a dog out of that wood? This guy, he could carve the most beautiful dogs out of that wood." And if you didn't know how to do that, you'd wonder, well, how can he, you know, with such an exacting eye, look at that block of wood and somehow cut a dog out of that wood? Well, the man looked at the wood and he said, "Well, you know, I just sit here and I look at it and I say, I'm going to cut off everything that don't look like a dog." And you know, when that story was told to me as a teenager from my dad, I thought, wow, that is so transformative, because in our lives, the Spirit of God prunes away everything that doesn't look like Jesus Christ. You know, it's a transformation that takes place from day to day. Now, I bet you won't ever forget that story, because you remember Veronica acting crazy and talking like a country man, saying, "Cut off everything that don't look like a dog." And we got to do that with everything in our lives. Any character trait, any attribute that does not look like Jesus Christ, we are to abstain from it by the Spirit of God, to declare, "No, my nature is just like Jesus, and so I want to emulate his glory." When I concentrate and I meditate on who he is, because I'm gazing into his glory is reflected back on me, and I am naturally going to act like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so our second foundation is the restoration of our authority. So we can see that in Luke 10 and 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means," that's your blank right there, "by any means will hurt you." Okay, so I want to stop right there before I read the rest of the scripture and say that "by any means" includes your body, your soul, and your spirit. God's protection covers every single area. Huh?
Oh, we're saying amen.
Oh, amen. Yeah, every single area of your life is protected by God. So notwithstanding in this, let's switch to the next page. "Rejoice not that your spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So the third part of our identity, this foundational thing that God has given to us through Jesus Christ's blood, is the restoration of our bodies. And so in the Old Testament, we see it in Isaiah 53, verses 4-5, "Surely," you know, absolutely, "he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. That's your blank. Was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. And so we can see a reference to Jesus. Here it is, as we said, prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53. But in Matthew, you can write down this in your notes, Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, Jesus refers back to that prophetic word, and he says that he has come to fulfill that prophecy. So, nothing because of this promise has the ability or the legal right to be placed upon us. Your answer right there in your blank. Nothing has the right or legal of right to be placed on us anymore because it is, has all been placed on Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I think that right there, you know, we should bear note of that because have you ever seen someone who's always going around and picking up someone's burden that they don't have anything to do with? You know, you're like, why are you worrying about that? I don't get why you're even thinking about that. It's the same thing right here. God has placed all of that old stuff, all of that sinful nature on him. Yes. Let's not be bothered with it anymore. It's his. I'm going to let him take full ownership of that. And I don't have any part in it anymore. And nor do you. So, valentation number four. This is our fourth restoration of our identity. The restoration of our souls. Let's look at Psalms 23, 2 through 3. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, is your blank. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So oftentimes, this is the thing that the enemy tries to do. Because our spirits are whole and complete and lacking nothing, the enemy tries to bring torment to you through your soul, through the spirit of fear. But it is our promise in God's word that God restores our soul. Hallelujah. And so Matthew 11, 28 is another promise that shows that he's given rest to our souls. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, is your blank. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so that passage is actually telling us, yeah, you got a choice. You can choose to take up another yoke. But he's saying, why would you do that when I'm giving you my yoke, which is easy, easy, easy peasy. No worry. Just take on Jesus's yoke. Agree with him. Lord, I'm going to be light as a feather. I'm going to walk about knowing that you've got it all under control. You've lifted every burden. You've torn away every shackle. You got it all in control, Jesus. I'm walking yoked to you. And there's a warning in the word to not be yoked or entangled with another person, right? Why? Because it's his burden. But if we're yoked to Jesus, it's all easy. Hallelujah. So let's look at James chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive meekness, with meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it is the word of God that transforms our souls. And, you know, that's important to note, too, because a lot of people think it's because of what they're doing. Like I always say, this is not behavior modification class, you know, where we're teaching you how to modify yourself. No, this is a transformative work that can only be done by the Spirit of God. So allow the Spirit of the Word of the Lord to transform your soul. Hallelujah. And then foundation number five, the restoration of our spirits. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together. That's your blank. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places, and your blank is in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. Some people in the world would say, this ain't got nothing to do with you. This ain't you. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Hallelujah. Our last, but not least, restoration to us because of the blood of Jesus Christ is the restoration of our substance. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through that though we were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Sometimes people will teach that this only deals with the restoration of your soul. But no, the Lord actually gave us back the ability to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. He wants us to be rich in every area of our lives. And then Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Psalms 103, 1 through 5. This psalm is full of benefits and provisions. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, we talked about this last time. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Command your soul to bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I look at this scripture as a mission statement of what God wants to do in my life. He has a lot of plans, a lot of benefits, and when I look at this, I go, this is wonderful. Lord, you have all of this for me? All of these tender mercies are for me? I don't ever have to be dissatisfied because you satisfy my mouth with good things and my youth is continually being renewed. I can't help but say, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've given to me. And then Romans 8, 31 through 32. Now, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him freely give us all things? He's given us all these things, these foundational truths. I'm going to run through them real quick. Foundation number one of restoring our identity back to us. He's given us everything. He's given us authority. He's given us health to our bodies. He's restored our souls. He's restored our spirits, and he's restored our substance. We bless the Lord, all our souls and all that is within him. In us, we bless his holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for all these benefits. Thank you for restoring our identities, Lord. We give you thanksgiving and praise, and let these truths, Lord, just come alive all the more. Give us revelation knowledge concerning who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay.